I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about God demonstrates. We're going to be looking in the book of Romans and looking at two different times. These kind of stood out to me the other day. Two different times where it says that God demonstrates. It says he demonstrates his justice, says he demonstrates his love for us. It's this idea that God not only is leading us, but he leads by example. Think about it. He leads by the example. He gave us his one and only son to demonstrate his love for us. He's just not talking about it. He's demonstrating us for us and showing us the way to go. So let's get started with prayer, and then we'll dive into this a little bit more. We're going to get started with our 30-day prayer challenge first here. If you're new to us here, this is the place to start. The 30-day prayer challenge is about a two-minute long prayer that we pray every day. Mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we pray this prayer. We take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to plan our day with God. And then it's about going about your day, executing the things that you know to do, trusting that God is with you there in the present moment, helping you do the things that you know to do. So we go through the prayer. We do the other half of prayer. That also serves as a time to reflect and to examine ourselves and to connect with God before we take communion, to examine ourselves before we take communion. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, and you made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity and ability to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but most importantly, starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do good, and to do it with a good attitude, with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer. If you're new to us here, if you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com, on the free tools and resources page, you'll find a link for the 30-day prayer challenge. And you'll find some additional training videos that go with this prayer, help you to walk out this process of the prayer and how to execute everything, along with a tracker that you can find to go through this process that we're doing right now for planning your day with God, tracking your levels of peace and joy and these types of things. So let's get started. Over the last 24 hours, what were your wins? What were the ways you saw God coming through? What were the things you executed and got done? What went well? It's good to get started just by fixing our mind on the things that are going well, the steps that we've taken. If you don't know anything to put there, you can simply say, what am I thankful for? Just getting our minds fixed on what's going well, things we're thankful for, rather than focusing on all the things that are going wrong. You know, if you focus on all the things that are going wrong, there is no end to the number of things that you can find. You can search for them all day long and you can continue to find more and more. But we want to start to fix our minds on what are the things that are going well, to fix our minds on those things. Because whichever one you focus on, you're going to see more of. And then our next question, how are your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last 24 hours. And remember, God has given you as a free gift. He's given you his peace. Jesus says, this is my peace. Take it. He's given you his peace, his joy, his faith, confidence in him. He's given you all these things as a free gift. But it's up to us whether we want to receive those and walk in these things. And I like to say it this way. It's like a light switch. Either God's supernatural peace and joy and confidence in him were flowing in your life, or they were not. And it might be a case where it was flowing, but then I got distracted. Something pulled me off track. And then it's a case of just working to get it back and get your mind fixed back on him. But if the answer was just no, or you're new to us here and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, the solution is very simple. Getting your mind fixed on God. Focus on him. Focus on how much he loves you. We're going to see it today. He demonstrates that. Focus on how much he loves you and that love never fails. Stay tuned in, stay focused and connected on him. Get into your Bible, read. You can study these communion meditations, just listening throughout the day. If you can't watch the whole thing at one time, that's okay. Just watch it in bits and pieces throughout the day. That's okay too. Just making time to connect with God and then staying more present as you go throughout your day. Often we get off in a different world. We're dwelling on the past, but worried about the future. God is in the present moment. He says, I am. And where we're going to find that peace and that joy is in the present moment, where we're going about doing the things that we know to do and executing them, trusting that God's with me. He's right there with you. He's right there side by side with you, helping you to execute the things that you know to do. Which leads us to our next question. What do you know to do today? What are the things that you know to do today? And it might be small things, errands you need to run, administrative things. And those are all things that need to get done. We don't want to bypass those. Those are all things that need to get done. But then, what are the bigger things that God's stirring in your heart, that God's stirring in your mind, that keep coming back to mind? Maybe there's something you've been procrastinating on. Maybe God's told you to do something. And you just have that nudge on the inside to start something new. Maybe it's to write a song. Maybe it's to write a book, to start a business, to start some new program, whatever it is. Follow those leadings. Where is that peace leading you on the inside? Then our final question, and if you need to pause the recording for a second as we do this, that's okay. God, what is the most important thing you're trying to teach me or show me over the last day? And if you will take just a couple minutes, 1 to 2 minutes, to get still and to listen, and just literally write down whatever comes to mind. We often make hearing God's voice overly complicated, but he's trying to speak to us all the time. He's trying to help us every single day. He's there with us, but often we get tuned into other things. Just taking a second to get still and to listen. Whatever comes to mind, just write it down. And I believe if you'll go through this process day by day, connecting with him, doing what you know to do, following his leading and his voice, being coachable and trainable and open to whatever he's trying to teach you, it's going to lead you to a beautiful place. It's going to lead you to where all those things you've been searching for in life, it's all on the other side of this process. All these things you've been searching for, it's all out there. And he's leading you to that place. And he may take you on a slightly different path than you expected. But he's leading you. He's faithful. He's leading you to that place. So let's take a look at this. We're going to look at, I was reading through the book of Romans just the other day, and I didn't know what to do with it, to be honest, at the time. But I saw two examples where it says that God demonstrates. God is our leader. We're following his lead. And not only does he talk the talk, but he walks the walk. He demonstrates for us who he is. He demonstrates the way we're supposed to do things. He demonstrates for us. And think about a leader who walks the walk, who demonstrates how things are supposed to be done. And we're going to look at two different times where it says that God demonstrates, one for his justice and another for his love. So this is in Romans, what are we in? Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. We're going to read a little bit just to get some context here first. It says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So now we have this righteousness from God that is through faith in Jesus, not righteousness because of our right works, not righteousness because we did everything right, righteousness because Jesus did, and his righteousness has been credited to our account. And through faith in him, we can be right with God. We can have a right standing with God, where God's, you know, God's saying, you know what? I'm with you. I'm for you. You are right with me. You have favor with me. I'm looking to bless you and to give you favor because you're right with me through Jesus. We have a righteousness that comes not through the law, but through faith in Jesus. And it says the law and the prophets testify to it. If you look through the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, it's talking about how faith in Jesus is going to be our righteousness. It says this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So it says that we've all missed it. None of us could earn this righteousness. Somewhere else in the New Testament, it talks about how the people were trying to earn or establish their own righteousness. But we need to focus on establishing the righteousness of Jesus. And you know what? I'm right with God because of what Jesus did, not because I went to church, not because I read my Bible, not because I tithed, not because I did these things. And I'm also not unrighteous because I sinned and fell short of the glory of God because I missed it, because I messed up. I'm not unrighteous because of those things. I'm righteous. My righteousness is established and founded in what Jesus did for me. We are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. In the Old Testament, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The way God has set all this up, the way God has ordained it, our sins cannot be forgiven without blood. The blood had to be thrown on the altar. The blood of the atonement had to be put on the altar. And this Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement was a day once a year when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would make the sacrifices to take away the sins for the people. But it says that those sacrifices, the blood of animals and bulls and goats, could only cover up our sins. Our consciences still carried the guilt of them. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us. There's a difference. So it says God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. There's that word. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So all the sins that people had committed before Jesus came, those sins were left unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time. Notice justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So he did this to be just. He did this to justify us who have faith in Jesus. God demonstrated his justice, that his wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus. You know, all the ways that we missed it and fell short, those sins were not unpunished. All that wrath, all the justice, all the penalty of that was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could be justified. He demonstrated his justice. He showed, if we're going to be wrong with God, we're not right with God. He showed the penalty of that, what that looks like in the cross of Jesus. He showed what that it looks like. He demonstrated that for us. So if we want to go our own route and seek to earn our own righteousness, we will also experience God's justice in that path. It says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. So this righteousness that we've been given in Christ, it makes us right with God. And now the justice we experience from God is that it's already been paid for. We are right with God because the sins have already been paid for through Jesus. He demonstrated his justice. And so then we have no room to boast. There's nothing we can boast about all of our things that we did good and all these types of things. We have no room to boast because our righteousness comes from what Jesus did, not because of our own works. So we have no room to boast about it. It is where we have to receive this with humility. So now let's look, and it goes on after that to talk about how Abraham believed God, and his faith, his believing in God, was credited to him as righteousness. So then we're going to go into Romans chapter 5 here. The subtitle of Romans chapter 5 is peace and joy. We talk about having peace and joy in God every day. This is Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we've been justified through faith, like we just talked about. God demonstrated his justice in what he did with Jesus so that we could be justified. We're justified by faith in Jesus. What is the result of that? Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Notice, justification brought us peace with God. We've been reconciled back to him. We have peace with God. Often when we're lacking peace, it's because our thoughts are divided. We want to go one way. We want to go another way. Our thoughts are divided. We have peace with God. We've been made one with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Something I've been thinking about lately. We talked about it yesterday. The work that we do, you know, we're righteous with God, and then he purifies us, but then we have work to do. He purifies us to do good works. And we're not earning our righteousness. We're prompted by his love and his grace on the inside to start walking out and to start walking out this righteousness that we've been given. But it says that our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested by fire. And the fire will reveal the quality of our work, the quality of our faith, the quality of these things. But it also says in that verse we talked about yesterday and from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that our work will be tested by fire. It also says that our work will be revealed by fire, and that when our work is revealed, then we'll get our reward. So the fire in many senses is good. The book of James says, rejoice when you encounter all kinds of troubles and problems and issues that you have to persevere through. Rejoice through those, because it's building your character, and it's going to lead you to a place where you get your reward. Rejoice in those things, actually. Jesus says we would go through the fire. I'm thinking of David in the Psalms, I believe. He said, God, you brought me through water and fire, but you brought me through to an abundant place. You brought me to a spacious place. So God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So all this comes through this faith in Jesus. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Feeling powerless, it's one of the worst feelings in the world. Like there's no hope for your situation. Like there's nothing you can do to turn it around. Feeling powerless to turn your situation around is one of the worst feelings in the world. But it says here, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates, there it is again, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies with God in our own minds, while we were still off doing our own thing, we didn't even care about God for a lot of people, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love. Demonstrated through action. It says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? God poured the cup of his wrath onto the body of Jesus, and we're saved from his wrath. How much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? He demonstrated his justice. He demonstrated his wrath on the body of Jesus at the same time he was demonstrating his love. He demonstrated both his justice and his love by what he did with Jesus. For if when we were God's enemies, notice we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So often we get stuck where we just go to the cross, where, you know, I'm reconciled to God. But then we got some things to walk in. That's just the starting point. That's the end of our old life and the start of the new. We've got some things to walk in going forward. That's not the end. We've been saved from death through him, reconciled back to God. But now we got this new life to walk out as one with God. God's love has been poured, shed abroad in our hearts. And we got this new life to walk out as one with God. How much more shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. And then if you read on in Romans, it talks about the power of one person. The power of one person. It says Adam was one man and he sinned and he missed it. I just came across a Jewish story the other day, and I don't know if this is true. I have no clue whether or not this is true or not. So don't take this as pure truth, but I found it to be an interesting story. It says that Adam had been created for 8 hours. He'd been alive for 8 hours when God told him, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And 1 hour later is when they ate it. I have no idea whether this is true or not. I found it to be an interesting story that he'd been created for 8 hours. God gave him the command, and within 1 hour, he was disobedient. Sounds a lot like when you tell children not to do something in many ways. And Adam was the pattern. It says, if you read on in that, from Romans chapter 5, Adam was the pattern, the power of one man. Because of his one sin, all of us inherited this sin nature where we just naturally do wrong. We miss it. But then it says there's the power of one man through one man's sacrifice. We've been made righteous. The power of one person who will receive this, one person who will receive what Jesus did and begin to walk in it, to begin to walk out their day with God, can truly impact many. One person can have a tremendous impact on the world. We know this is true in a negative sense. I was once reading a story. There was the threat of some kind of terrorist attacks, and it was one person who had caused the idea, stirred up the idea of the threat of a terrorist attack. And because of that, millions of kids were out of school for a day because of one person's actions. One person can affect many. One person. It just takes one. God just needs one guy, one girl, one person to say, you know what? I'm going to walk out what he's got for me in my life. Jesus paid for this. He demonstrated his justice and his love for me. His love has been shed abroad in my heart. I'm going to walk out what he has for me. I'm going to walk out this life connected to him. And one person can truly impact the world. A lot of times it looks like it's not possible for one person to make that much difference, but one person can truly make a huge impact. But we're going to take communion over this. Just every time we take communion, just a sense of awe for what God did, for what Jesus did. And just today, just receiving this, that God demonstrates. He demonstrated his justice. He demonstrated his love for us all at the same time. And if he gave us Jesus, how will he not freely give us all things? If we were his enemies, he gave us Jesus. Now that we've been reconciled to him, we've been made his children, we're seeking to live a life that's pleasing to him, how will he not freely give us all things? He did that for us when we were his enemies. How will he not do so much more as we become his children, his partners in life? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Again, we see the power of one person's obedience leading to life for many. The things that you know to do today, that God is, you know, God is prompting, he's stirring you today, has ripple effects across people, for people everywhere. These good things that you walk in, that God has prompted you to walk in, cause ripple effects across the world everywhere for good. It's not going to happen at once. It takes a little while for waves to reach the other side of a pool sometimes. Not going to happen all at once. But if you'll do the things you know to do, you'll stay connected to God. You'll walk out those things every day. It will cause a benefit of good reaching to many people. It will impact many people for good all over the world. Father, we thank you for this cup and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Now it's simply about walking it out. What do you know to do today? Receiving this from God, his justice and his love. He's with you. He's for you. He's there with you trying to help you today. Sometimes it seems like the little things we're doing don't really make that much difference. But if you're doing it with God with you, it's truly having a much bigger impact than you think. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you can learn more at our website, the Abundant Life Training Center. But I think the thing I want to reiterate with our partners is that, you know, just the opportunity for us to come together and to do this together. If one person can make that much difference, how much can all of us come in together, getting unified together, walking out this life with God together? And I always look forward to our partner Zoom calls that we do, just a chance to connect with each other and get encouraged and inspired by each other. And it's truly a powerful thing, people walking together in unity. But if you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, we'd love to have you join us. You can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com to learn more.